everyone, and welcome to the Global Alliance of Anti-Incinerator Alternatives podcast. And today with me in the studio, I'm having an amazing team from the incredible Nipe Fagio, which is an organization that is championing zero waste practices in Tanzania. And they will tell us more about their work, the communities that they serve, when we're commemorating 25 years of Gaia in this podcast. Hosting this session today is I, Karine Joel Mwakitalu, from the Global Alliance of Anti-Incinerator Alternatives. And just to start off our conversation, maybe we can hear a bit of who is joining us today in the room and your role at Nipe Fagio, as well as maybe you can just tell us where you grew up, a bit brief about yourself, your family, and how people that do not know you would describe you when they met you for the first time. Welcome.
So my name is Maria Quirin, and I am the policy coordinator for Nipe Fagio, and my work works around working with the government to try and lobby policies around solid waste management here in Tanzania. In my family, we are born three of us, and I'm the only girl and the last one. And because of that, I've learned to be able to speak for myself and be confident, and that's how I think a person who knows me would say about me.
Okay, thank you so much. I'm Tajeli Alexi Masak, a data coordinator from Nipe Fagio, and my role as a data coordinator is to manage and ensure we have the proper and evident data to support our ongoing activities like policy advocacy and implementation of activities in Nipe Fagio. And I was born in Kilimanjaro, yeah, that is where I came from, and I started this initiative while I was in young. So my family and the people describe me as environmentalist, so since I was an environmentalist.
Hello, habari. I'm Shishkai Wilhard. I'm the Zero Waste Project Coordinator working for Nipe Fagio. So my role is around the coordination and the implementation of zero waste system in Tanzania. And I grew up in the village in Kasulu district in Kigoma region. And my family, I'm the fifth person from seventh people in my family. So I used to be a head prefect in one of the schools that I started there, and my roles was around coordinating the cleanliness at the school. So from there I came to catch up actually the ideal reason why I need to live in a clean and a safer environment. So from there it paved my way towards identifying myself that I need to play something in terms of making the environment is clean and safer for a living. Mm-hmm. So as of now, I have two kids and one wife, and my family regards me as a change maker because I'm trying to bring the sense of change to communities through knowledge sharing and practical experience, especially when it comes to the issue of proper handling of waste.
Thank you so much.
And hello, my name is Ana Rocha. I am the executive director of Nipe Fagio. I have been an environmentalist since I know myself. So when I actually started to write at school, I grew up in Brazil. And when I started writing at school, the very first paper that I wrote in school was about the environment. It was about preserving the Amazon forest and respecting the indigenous peoples that we had in the Amazon. I was very young when we had the Rio 1992, the Earth Summit in Brazil. And I think anyone who grew up in Brazil at that time knows that the environmental mindset started spreading all over the place. We were all talking, writing, drawing about the environment. And so I grew up like this. I started working for speakers. I was 14 years old in Brazil, and it has gone since. So for me, it has always been about how to care for the environment, but also how to care for people so that people can also care for the environment, because these two things are connected. I think I have two kids. I think if you ask my kids what their mom do, they are going to say, mom is removing plastic from the road. So that's basically what I'm trying to do. I thought that my generation, when I was young, I used to tell my mom that their generation really messed things up, but my generation was going to solve the problem and fix it. I don't think we did a very good job until now, but I'm still trying and trying to work to fulfill that promise.
Thank you so much, Anna. I couldn't agree more with you. So the Global Alliance for Anti-Incinerator Alternatives is a network of organizations from Africa, but also globally, working towards this whole phenomena that all the speakers have spoken or touched about called zero waste. So we're looking around issues of environmental justice when it comes to plastics elimination, zero waste, and climate mobilization and advocacy, especially in regional but also global policy spaces, and how this plays out in our communities to make these communities better and safer for everyone. So Nipa Fagio is a member of the Global Alliance of Anti-Incinerator Alternatives, and this year we're celebrating the 25th year of this network. There is a lot on the ground, a lot has been done, and the Africa for Zero Waste podcast is a space for us to discuss these journeys. We have seen a lot of the numbers, we have seen a lot of technicalities when it comes to these discussions, but behind all these things are faces of people who are working tirelessly to make this vision alive. And I'm so glad to be joined by some of these people in this room today. So why don't you guys share with us what's one of the most biggest challenges that you've had to overcome personally, but also it could be from a professional point of view. I would start with Anna.
Okay. So I think there are many challenges. I will mention a challenge that was when I actually moved 15 years ago now. I moved from Brazil to Tanzania. And I went to live in the village with people. At that time, I didn't know how to speak Swahili. I was living in the village. And for a long time, I was there by myself, trying to understand the culture, trying to respect the local knowledge, trying to work with people and find solutions. So that we could develop environmentally friendly, social businesses that could allow people to have a good life. So it was actually an amazing moment of my life. I miss the village every day until now. And I was very happy living there. But it was definitely a challenge to be able to insert myself in the culture, to be accepted, to understand where people are coming from, to learn not just Swahili, but also needed to learn a little bit of Kisamba, a little bit of Kizigua, so I could actually connect with people and get things to work. At that time in Brazil, before I came, I had a company, so I had actually built a professional journey for myself, and I left everything behind. So after I was here for some time, I removed myself from my company, and I decided to invest in sorting out the environment from this side of the world. So that was a big change, and I did leave a lot of things behind, but then I gained a lot of things on this side of the ocean as well.
Actually, on my side, the challenge that I wish to share with you here is all about the unemployment thing. Because when I graduated my bachelor degree from the University of Dar es Salaam, I had no ideas on where I would be employed. So I was like, how am I going to meet my target when it comes to the issue of economic thing? So
we found him.
Yeah.
Yes. So from there, now I decided to look around where I could start by volunteering, and unfortunately I got to get connected with the Nipefagio on the Nipefagio launch, where there was a big cleanup, beach cleanup. So during that time, then I get connected and I start volunteering for some part-time job. And then from there, I had to prove myself that I am a hard worker, I can contribute something. So I was then consistently being monitored. And from there, I was gaining some trust from different leaders. And here I am now. So I'm the Zero Waste Project Coordinator.
Yeah, you did it.
Yes. Like, yes. Yeah. We found him.
Thank you so much, Shikai.
Okay, thanks. For me, the biggest challenge is concerning with the leadership and the Tanya ID to reality. So I can trace back from where I grew up. It is 20 years back. Yeah, I remember when I was in primary, I started this initiative of planting trees. So we just planting like for decoration. I don't know if it is associated with the issue of climate change or whatever. So when I was in secondary school, I joined this root and shoot clubs and environmental clubs. So from there, I started to be a leader of those groups while I was in just form one. So from there, I got guidance from teachers and other mentors. But when I was in university, where there is no any guidance from or mentorship from anybody, so is where I wanted to see what I see in Kilimanjaro, maybe a green place in Dar es Salaam. So in Dar es Salaam, there is a lot of challenging concerning with the issue of trees and whatever. So I started the initiative to plant a tree in Dar es Salaam, but this initiative failed. Mm-hmm. And failed because of the development in roads developments and others. So I tried to figure out what can I do as a leader, because I was a leader for one of the organizations in University of Dar es Salaam. So also I met Nipefagio, one of the staff from Nipefagio. So they say, you have to change, maybe in Dar es Salaam they don't want to see a lot of trees, so you have to change the idea from green to maybe waste management. So is where I started the initiative to engage in more in the issue of waste. But also I get the challenge because to change the those scholars' mindset to be part of this initiative is very challenging. They say, mm-hmm. we cannot go to clean the ocean, or we can't we are educators, so we can't go to those kinds. Yes, so that is our biggest challenge. So but I get the mentorship from Nipefagio, and I mobilize them, and we participated, and most of them who joined my forces, we are all of them 100%. Mm-hmm. From those who we joined this movement, we are environmentalists today, and some of them we are in Nipefagio.
You found him as well.
That's great.
So on my side, in 2017, I joined a volunteering program called International Citizen Service. And it was a volunteering program that we were going into rural villages to do a livelihood project. And I was placed in a village in Morogoro called Ulaya Kibaoni, it's in Kilosa. And I was actually a team leader of the group, and I was leading a group of 12 young people from Tanzania and the UK. And one of the biggest challenges that we found there is that the community members were actually cutting down trees for charcoal. And we were actually going there to advise them to stop doing their normal activities from charcoal business, to actually think about other business ventures in the village, so that they can stop cutting down trees. Mm-hmm. Basically, that was it. And the biggest challenge is, you go into a village in Tanzania, and you start telling them about these businesses' ideas that for them they think like it's out of this world. Mm-hmm. And the program was for 6 months, but actually 2 months part of it, it was just us struggling, trying to actually think about them rather than us coming to impose new ideas or new things in the villages. So actually it was a challenge for us, because for me it was the first time in a work setting working with these young people from different countries, and that all comes with a whole another dynamic. And then here now you have to talk to community members, to villagers, and tell them, you know what, you should start a shop. Or maybe you should start, you should start fishing, because they had a small ponds in the village. So it actually made us to, sit down and actually say, okay, maybe it's not about us, it's more about them, and thinking about how can we change their mindset or move, their mindset from charcoal business into other businesses that are more viable in their village, without us imposing new things from Dar es Salaam, mm-hmm. or from the UK, mm-hmm. because that was also another aspect, international people wanted to impose businesses that mm-hmm. actually work in the UK rather than mm-hmm. working in Tanzania. Mm-hmm. So for me, that was a huge thing, that, it gave me a foundation of now, even now that we're working in the environmental sector in Tanzania, to actually think about more of ways that are more relatable to us here, that they will solve the challenges or the things that we are facing, rather than imposing new things that are not viable in the local context here.
So I'm going to take this back to you, Anna, to tell us what exactly is Nipe Fagio, when was it founded, and what are the top priorities of this outstanding organization?
So Nipe Fagio was founded in 2013. I'm not the founder of Nipe Fagio. There is someone called Tanya who founded Nipe Fagio. And she started the organization by driving through Dar es Salaam and finding all the rivers filled up with waste. And she was, okay, we need to do something about this. I think she was complaining about it, and people around her got tired of her complaining and said, okay, if you are going to pay attention to this, then do something, because mm-hmm. complaining is not going to solve the problem. So Nipe Fagio started back there as an organization that had a focus on, okay, how can we make the rivers clean? How can we make the oceans clean? As we evolved, I think one of the things that we came to conclude is the fact that you cannot actually just clean the waste that is already there without addressing the paths by which the waste gets there. Mm-hmm. And so in the case of Dar es Salaam, in the case of Tanzania, and now we do work in several districts of Tanzania, not just in Dar es Salaam. And one of the things that I think has always been true is that, and I'm a believer, I believe in people, so I always say that when people are given a good choice, they take it. If waste is not because people just think, oh, let me go there and destroy the environment. It is because people don't actually have a good alternative mm-hmm. to do something that is better than that. So later on, when I joined Nipe Fagio, I don't even know, 7 years ago now, 8 years ago, I think one of the things to put in place was, okay, we need to have a strategy that we actually give people a better choice. Mm-hmm. So Nipe Fagio is based on a three-pillar strategy. We have data, so that's what Masaki is the head of. We collect a lot of data so that we can understand what kind of waste is there, where the waste is coming from, who are the producers of that waste, because we need to actually place responsibility on the companies that are producing the waste, because they're producing packaging and other kinds of plastic, most plastic waste, that we cannot do anything with. So who are them? And we have the largest database on waste in Tanzania. And then the second pillar is policy, and that's what Marie does. And so then we do policy at the local level, we do policy at the national level, we do policy at the regional level, and we do policy at the global level. So we have been advocating, for example, for the harmonization of the environmental laws across the East African community, because one of the things that we came to realize is that it's harder to reinforce laws and regulations when you have different countries doing different things across borders, and then products and even plastic bags that we have a ban here in Tanzania, for example, end up coming to Tanzania from the countries around Tanzania. So basically, when you think about the environment, we cannot think about the environment alone. The environment belongs to all of us, so we need to do things that are collective. And we also advocate at the global level. That's where the Global Plastic Treaty comes in, when we are there trying to create a treaty that all the 198 countries under the UN are going to sign, hopefully, or at least a good number of them, so that we can basically address the plastic pollution from the start, which is from production. And then the third pillar is action, which is what Shishikai here does, which is basically the implementation of, I don't like to say projects, we do have projects as well, but we also implement systems, and systems that actually can produce the systemic change that we'd like to see, so that we can provide people with a better choice than just dumping things around and making everything dirty. And the main thing that we do in the action side of it, so in the implementation, is basically zero waste implementation. We have been focusing on this since 2017 now. We were the first to implement zero waste in Africa, and we have gone a very long way with Zero Waste Academies, International Zero Waste Cities Conference. We have taught organizations in over 40 countries about zero waste implementation, and so that has been a big focus for us, and again, something that we can only do collectively. So that's not something that we keep for ourselves, it's something that we share as much as we can, because we want to have as many organizations and as many people implement zero waste as possible.
Not to put a pause on you, but maybe Shishikai, Marie, and Masaki can share a bit on a few accomplishments as heads of the different departments that Anna just mentioned, just briefly, as part of some of the accomplishments that Nipefagio has been able to cater in this 25-year anniversary celebration. Yeah.
Okay, maybe I can start. So around policy, we've done a lot of things, but I would say like the recently one of the big accomplishment is that we've been able to advocate for the review of the Solid Waste Management Regulation Act here in Tanzania, and we were advocating for zero waste strategies and system to be entered into the new Regulation Act policy, and we've been able to do that. So we have things like segregation at source. We have things like recycling in there. We've been able to add in waste pickers in there, which was something that actually was very against, like with the government people here in Tanzania. They just saw them as Waokota Takataka, so people who just street people just collect trash. Now they've been recognized and they've been added in there. EPR was also something that was in there but was very vague. Now it has been able to be actually given more points and explained more, and it's something that now companies we might be able to actually bound them from that regulation, because now it explains explicitly what they need to do similar compared to the last regulation. And another thing is that Tanzania have going to launch a national solid waste management strategy. It's something that I think we did not have before, I'm not sure, could quote me wrong, but good thing in the strategy, again, some of these things that we're talking about, the zero waste strategies, are there. You know, things like segregation at source, things like how do we pick up waste, making sure that it stays segregated. So it's things like that you can see the government now are actually starting to think about, which are things that they never thought about. But because of our work and the things that a lot of people in the ecosystems are doing around zero waste, we're actually seeing the result now, and we are hoping for the best, the future.
Around the zero waste implementation, we are actually happy that the system is fully operational in Dar es Salaam, Arusha, and Zanzibar, and that's among of the big highlight for us, because it is a new system that started in Tanzania, and you can say that Africa at large, because all implementers of the zero waste system now in different countries learn from us. So that actually inspires how the zero waste system is works in holistic way. And through that, we have managed to integrate the waste cooperative into the model. So now the vulnerable groups, including waste pickers, women and youth, are now integrated into the zero waste system in a formalized way. So they have, they register the cooperative, whom now that umbrella actually are used to dignify and to dignify their work, their work, and improve their livelihood when they are doing their day-to-day activities under the zero waste system. And one of the big things that we are actually happy about it is the issue of compliance to segregation at source. Before, there was like the mention or the scenario that Tanzanians people want to do anything about source separation. But from all areas that the zero waste system are working, we have about 95% compliance to segregation at source, which shows that the model's acceptability and the practicability about the separation at source is really genuine. And another thing to highlight is the reduction of waste sent to the landfill. So through the zero waste model, like through the system, we are reached to about 80%, 85% of waste recovery, implying that only 15% of the waste are sent to landfill, which actually tells about how the model is doing better in terms of reduction of the greenhouse gas emission, especially the methane gases. Yes.
Just to add on more accomplishment, which is this also, it's a more of a recent one, is that now we're seeing municipal councils are starting to think about how they can move from a more the more traditional way of waste management, and now they're thinking about this new community-based solid waste management. We've had Kinondoni now approaching us, them saying that we want this model in one of the areas in Kinondoni, because we've seen it has actually worked. So you can see that the work that the Fagio has been doing with Bonyokwa in Dar es Salaam, in Arusha, in Zanzibar, you could see now government officials, especially on municipal level, showing interest of actually want to implement the zero waste model, or the community-based or led solid waste management model, rather than the more traditional way of the mkandarasi going to take waste and then taking it to the landfill. So I think that's one of the biggest accomplishments the team has achieved.
Thanks, for data, it is cross-cutting. Yes. That's why we start with the policy and implementation. So the data is cross-cutting, because without the data, policy, they cannot able to advocate for it, and the implementation, we can't implement something without knowing the situation. So in data, as you also Anna highlighted before, we have many approaches in data collection and in methodology. We collect the data like marine litter monitoring. So we do a survey and the monitoring of litters from beach, from ocean, from streets, rivers. But also we do mapping. So we map illegal dump sites. We map trash which are scattered in environment. But also we do a survey in community so as to understand the situation, what is the situation in community about waste management, what are they doing, which model they use, and so so as to amplify the zero waste system to work in community. And as we have the database in each categories of waste management in Tanzania, so anything we do, we rely on the data that we collect. So that's all data.
Yeah, and just to add on Masaki's contribution, is that like now, as Anna said too, like Anipe Fagio has the largest database, and now you can find like NEMC reaching to us and other organizations trying to ask for different data that might be helpful for them. Mm-hmm. So that signifies how Nipe Fagio actually is working along data gathering and information to allow or to inform decision on different angles so mm-hmm. that we improve our environment. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And also on all data that we collected, so we have the program of UC ambassadors who support us in collection of data, very talented, ambitious, and so so this UC ambassador program is a program in Nipe Fagio, and we involve them in a lot of activities, and especially in terms of data collection, but also they involved in other implementation of activities in Nipe Fagio.
Maria, did you have
the happy thing is that you have many accomplishments.
My head is about to explode. Just to sum it up, so it's the 25th year since Gaia has been impacting our communities in different ways. And so what is the story when it comes to Gaia for Nipe Fagio? So how did Nipe Fagio connect to Gaia, and what would you say have been your collective wins with Gaia, and how do you see the evolution of this partnership in the next few years, Anna?
Okay. So yeah, Gaia is 25 years now, and Nipe Fagio is half that. It's like 15 years now, a little bit more than half. So when we started growing and we started saying, okay, we actually need to do more than just awareness raising, than just cleaning areas that are dirty, because one of the things that you find out when you clean them is that they get dirty again very quickly. And we said, okay, we need a better strategy. We need actually to change the systems so that we have ways not going to those areas in the first place. We need to get people to have opportunities to do something else. That's exactly when I met Gaia. I was the first one to meet Gaia. And that was through Niven, which is the Gaia Africa coordinator. An amazing guy, and he was looking for expansion, and I don't really know how, but he found Nipe Fagio, and he invited us, in this case me, to a meeting that happened in South Africa in Durban. And I was pregnant. I was, I think, 6 months pregnant. I had a big belly, and I went to this meeting, and I actually went to three different meetings in a row. It was three meetings, and the Gaia one was the last one of the three. And I remember that I look and I'm, okay, I think I found our place, you know. And I found, okay, the environmental justice principles behind the work that we do, this is here. The understanding that we need systemic change, this is here. The collective of organizations, working for the same cause and being stronger together than they would be alone, it's here. And so that's when we decided to become Gaia members. And since then, we engaged in pretty much everything that Gaia proposed us to engage. So we were doing the zero waste implementation in a very small scale. We were able to expand it through the exposure that Gaia gave us, to be able to reach out to more knowledge, to donors, to different groups doing it and getting connected. So we were able to scale up the zero waste implementation. We engaged in a lot of the breaks from plastic, but led by Gaia waste and brand audits, which allowed us to increase our data collection and to be able to release yearly reports about the waste that we have in Tanzania and compare those that data with the data that we had all over the world so that we could contribute to the numbers from all over the world. And we usually have we are actually the ones with the largest number about volumes and amounts of waste collected in every single one of the brand audits. One, because we're working really hard, so that's a good thing, but also because we have too much waste in Tanzania, which is a bad thing. So we were doing that. So we engaged in every single way that we could. We engaged in the Global Plastics Treaty. We engaged together with other organizations based in Kenya, Rwanda, and Uganda to then develop an East African strategy for the harmonization of the policy. And so all of that came through Gaia and through the connections that Gaia brought to us and through this partnership that he created that we really value and we hope that is going to continue to grow.
Thank you so much. That was brief and lovely. So one thing about us, Gaia, is the power of collective. So I want to do one round where everyone could share with people that are either listening to this podcast or watching it on what would be that important reason for them to join a membership or network like Gaia. Marie?
So I would say pretty much exactly what you said is that with Gaia there's a power of collective, and I'm doing this work around advocacy, around lobbying, around, you know, getting change, especially where there is big decisions that need to actually be done by big people in countries. You actually need more voices to come together in order to actually attain the change. And I think that's what you get from the Gaia Network, because there is a lot of people that are coming together for one purpose, one change that, you know, everybody's working their bits and bob everywhere they are, but you're working towards a one goal. And, you know, with that, it comes with power. It comes with, you know, makelele, noise, which is very important when you want change. That can bring, you know, a big change that you actually need to the community. And actually, when you just look at it, any decision, it needs to come from the grassroots, from the people themselves. And I think, like, with the NATO group, that's what actually you will get when you join this network.
Yeah, thanks Marie Kili, it's all about happy 25th anniversary to Gaia. And for me, I think anyone can join Gaia and they will benefit a lot, because to have 25 years, it is a big achievement. It is a long journey. And it shows that there is a sustainability in terms of operations, management, and everything. So being a member of Gaia, it is something more in terms of networking. So there is a huge network alongside with Gaia. And I know myself, from Nipefagio to know the Gaia, there is a strong network. I know a lot of people from this movement, mm-hmm. and from this network, and I engage with most expertise who also help me in terms of develop issues concerning with data and how to share this data and go viral and there globally to understand what is the situation is around concerning with the in terms of waste. So I think in Gaia there is a good networking, so the others people, if they join, they have a strong network for advocate and implement a systematic changes in their community.
On my side, I think it is very worth joining Gaia because Gaia has a space for knowledge exchange and learning, how to access finance. So through there, the organization can grow through different partnership and engagement within Gaia.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and it's also a fun network with fun people. It's not just work, it's also
I agree.
A good moment.
I think it's a good place for you to find peers that think the way that you do, that would like to have fun the way that you do as well. Mm. So I agree, it's a fun network. I also think that joining Gaia, one of the things is you need to actually be principle oriented. So it's not a network for everybody or for any organization, because it comes with the responsibility of carrying the principles of everybody else that is part of that network, which means that you need to make choices in a certain way. We need to think through the opportunities that you receive, because not all of them actually fit in a principle-oriented decision-making. And so you need to be principle-oriented. We need to really believe in environmental justice and in social justice, because that guides all the work that is being done. And if you actually, if that's your case, if that's the case of an organization, then you will find a lot to learn from. You'll find a lot of people that have been doing that for the past 25 years, but also people that have started recently and bring innovation and have new ideas. You'll be able to add your power to the power of many others to create collective power, which can take us further. When we started doing zero waste implementation in Tanzania, the question that people would ask is, why is anyone calling this zero waste? There is no zero waste. Nowadays, nobody asks that question anymore. Yeah. Yeah. We have zero waste across the road, and we even have a UN Zero Waste Day, which is an official day. It's nobody asks that question anymore. We won the narrative, you know. And so that collective power is very powerful. Like it's the most powerful power that you can have. Mm-hmm. Is a power that is not just emanating for yourself, but is emanating for a collective of organizations that are working for the same goal. And so I think it's a great network to be part of, and it's a great place to be inspired and to be able to celebrate small victories, because as I mentioned, I spent my whole life working hoping that my generation was going to deliver way more than we have delivered in terms of environmental responsibility. But you don't lose your motivation because you keep sight of that perspective, that goal that you have in front of you, because you are able to celebrate victories all the time. There are small victories to celebrate in the work that we are doing here in Tanzania, but also in the work that many others are doing in so many places. And that keeps you going, that keeps you motivated, and that's a very important thing for you to feel accomplished as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Lovely. Thank you all so much. I personally think that Gaia provides that space of extension where different people coming from different contexts and working on granular issues on the ground, just to generate that together and also find a cause that together they could accomplish, especially under the Environmental Justice League in Africa and elsewhere, which makes it very, very important but also critically significant for our environment and the communities that we serve And I would personally say congratulations to NIPA FAGIO. Those big wins are outstanding, and definitely, yes, I second everything that you say. There has been a lot of change in the policy space, in our communities today, and even in practical models like the Bonyokwa one, and others now in the islands, in Zanzibar, which is quite hope-giving for the generations that we're working for. And just to close, I would like to thank everyone for joining me today, and those that are listening or watching. This is the Africa for Zero Waste podcast. You can follow us on our social spaces at Africa for Zero Waste. It is a space where we're having intersectional conversations on the climate and environmental justice movement in Africa. So everything, mobilization, plastics, zero waste, youth, and different aspects in the climate conversation in Africa. You're welcome to do so. Until next time, thank you so much, and bye-bye.